Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Big Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Tisha.
And we have a great, great conversation today. Been kind of looking forward to this. I think we had this on the docket for a little while. We wanted to talk about certain things in season four. This one's kind of been on the back burner, but we've been wanting to get to it. So I'm actually pretty stoked about the one today. This should be a good one. But before we get into it, want to give a shout out to our listeners in Phoenix, Arizona. Woo. And we've been picking up a lot of momentum in Los Angeles, California.
Wow.
So that's actually really cool. So I want to say hello to all our folks in Phoenix and in Los Angeles and all over the United States and all over the globe, because the Fig Tree is global now.
Yay!
It's a really good thing. You ever thought somebody across the water would be listening to you talk and, you know, discuss things? And you never catch on to that. So we give all glory to God for
Amen. What
he's doing with this particular arm of the ministry. We have a lot of fun with Under the Fig Tree. I think I was very reluctant in the beginning to do this. Very reluctant. But I'm glad we did. So either way, with all that, you want to introduce our topic?
Sure. I think it's a very important topic. It's something that we need to talk about, I feel, and it is called servitude or serving.
So serving is something that we will never stop doing.
Amen.
It's something we'll always do. I believe even when we get into eternity, we'll still be serving.
Yes.
So I think it's just the way God has made us. It's how he's created us. It's something he's put in us. I'm going to start in Mark.
Okay.
Chapter 9.
All righty then.
So Jesus predicts his death and his resurrection. And after this, we pick up in verse 33. It says, then he came into Capernaum, and he was in the house, and he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed amongst themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Mm. What I like about this is even though they didn't answer him, he knew. He knew. Yeah, I know what you rascals were doing.
Right.
You know, bickering, who's going to be the greatest. Let me explain to you how you're going to be great. And this is his formula for being great. And his formula is very simple. Just be a servant of everyone else.
Yeah.
That's what makes you great. So.
It is positional. Serving is positional. I have a scripture that goes along with that.
Yep.
Luke 22:24-27. New King James says, now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. So this is another aspect of this same scripture, but I like how this reads. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. So he gives this really elaborate picture of what it means in a worldly view to be great and what it means in the kingdom of God to be great. And I think when we look at serving, and we could talk a little bit what serving is too, what truly that is. But when you look at serving from that aspect, you understand that it's a flip-flop almost, that, you know, what we consider high out here, God is not even looking at.
That's
how
right.
Have you served one another? How have you loved one another? How have you served one another? And I think that's how we have to approach things in the kingdom, especially when we're talking about loving.
Oh, sure. There's no way. I mean, you can truly love someone without serving.
Amen.
You know, in some capacity. And I know our Western way of thinking, a lot of times we look at servitude like it's way down here somewhere.
Right.
And we have an outlook that the Eastern, ancient Eastern world did not have the same outlook of a servant.
Mm.
Servants sometimes were family.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the servant wasn't blood family, but then when they were brought in as family.
Yes.
And we don't always see servanthood like that or servitude like that. We see servitude, and honestly, we can be real because we're under the fig tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can see how people treat, how they view servants.
Mm-hmm.
By just the testimonies of waitresses on Sundays.
Yes. Yes.
When the waitresses and the servers, the people in the serving industry, when they decide they want to call in on Sunday after church because that's when the worst crowd comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not a good testimony for the people of God.
No.
That we view people that are serving us in that way, that they would actually mistreat people who are waiting on you or people that are trying to serve you to the point that they don't even want to come to work. I know I'd make money. I know I'd get tips, but I'd rather not deal with these folks.
Right. And what I love about this, he says, yet I am among you as one who serves.
Yeah.
Why was Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so made this so important about serving? Like, even to the point where we know that conversation between him and Peter of the washing of the feet.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, no, don't wash my feet. Why? Because Peter was looking at it from a standpoint of, that's a low position and I have esteemed you high. But Jesus told him, if I don't wash your feet, you can't enter the kingdom.
Yeah.
This is some real stuff. So he had to humble him. It was almost like, and this is how I said, Peter had to humble himself to allow Jesus to humble himself to wash his feet. And
sure.
Jesus positioned himself in that way. And because Jesus took that position, we have to look at that and say, okay, why is that important?
Yeah. And I like that. He had to humble himself to allow Jesus to humble himself, because that humility can't be forced. So Jesus couldn't force his will onto Peter and wash his feet, because then you're not really serving at that point.
No.
You know, serving, there's a heart of a servant that you have to have. We know, according to, I think it's in Matthew and Mark, might be in Luke too, where Jesus said he didn't come here to be served, but he came to serve all.
To serve.
Yeah, and that was his deal. So how did he serve us? In what way did he serve us? There were several things that Jesus did while he was here. I've said this before, and I might even said this on the podcast before. It wasn't just about his death, burial, and resurrection. That's a huge piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
You know, and I don't look past that, and we thank him so much for that.
Absolutely.
Could not thank him enough for that.
Absolutely.
The other part to that is, if it was just about that, then he would have just came here and died, right?
Yes.
And then went back to where he was. But he lived here for 33 years. Why? Because he was showing us how we could live.
Yes.
And he was showing us how we should live.
Right.
And what did he show us when he was showing us how we should live? He showed us how to serve.
Yeah.
Everywhere he went, he showed us how to serve.
And why is serving so important? Like, when you serve someone, what are you receiving and what are you getting?
Well, I think this is the funny thing. When you truly serve someone, you're not looking to get anything in return. Now, let me say it the right way, because that's probably a bad way to say it.
Okay.
You're not doing it to get anything in return.
Okay.
Because I've asked that question in Bible studies before. If you give, do you expect to give something back? And people say, well, no, that's not why I give. But that's not the question I ask. Do you expect to get something back? Well, of course you should expect to get something back, because the Word of God says that you will get something back if you give.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to stand in faith according to the Word of God, should you expect to get something back? Of course.
Yeah.
Same thing with serving. Should you expect to get something back? Of course, but that's not why you do it.
Okay.
So I'm not doing it to get something back. I'm not even concerned with getting something back. I know that's going to happen, but it's not a concern of mine. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
I do this because it's what I'm built to do. God has graced every last one of us to be able to serve in a capacity. And I believe one of the things that gets in the way of that grace is our own mentality and our own pride.
Yes, it does. It does. And when you are serving someone, it is positioning you in a place that allows you to also be served.
Sure.
You know, so if I am willing to do this thing or submit myself to you in a service in some type of way, then that is positioning me in the spiritual realm to be able to receive. And I want to give you Romans 1:9. It says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son."
Yeah.
"That without ceasing I make mention of you." So he goes on to talk about prayer. But I thought it was interesting, "whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son." So in Romans, Paul is saying, I serve God with my spirit. My spirit responds to God. My spirit reacts with God. My spirit humbles itself to God. My spirit submits to the word and the will of God. I am serving God with my spirit man in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I think when we begin to peel back the layers of what serving is, we begin to see that serving God from, or serving people in that matter, in any capacity, from a place of the spirit, from understanding that it is a spiritual situation, it's a spiritual stance that I'm taking, it takes off the stigma of serving. It actually places an empowerment in you that causes you to want to serve the way Christ did. And so when we wanted to talk about servitude today, because we wanted to put it in its proper context. Servitude is powerful. It is a tool that, and a weaponizing idea, I shouldn't say idea, that's a bad word, or weaponizing framework that God will use in order to build you, in order to build your character, in order for you to receive. And so I really think we need to look at serving by our spirit, from the spirit.
Well, I think you make a great point there. I like this because you bring up Paul, and I love how Paul approaches things. So I think it's Romans 1 in verse 1. It says this. It says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God." Yeah, that's an introduction to Romans, which Romans is a fantastic book. I think everybody can agree to that.
Yes.
It is one of the most essential books to the believer, but I like the way Paul starts it. He starts with this introduction of himself. He's writing this letter to the Romans, but look how he describes himself. He says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." His apostleship went after him being a servant.
Come on.
He introduced himself first as a bondservant.
Yeah.
That word bondservant, I believe, is in the Greek, is doulos, is the Greek word for it, which means one sold into slavery. I did this to myself. Right? This wasn't imposed upon me. But everything that comes with being a servant, I bind myself to it. Did it to myself.
As you're saying that, I'm hearing Jesus, who was, what was that scripture? Who was in the form of the flesh, thought himself not robbery to make himself equal with God, but came down to be with us. And I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the scripture in front of me, but he came down to be with us. That is servanthood.
That is exactly what that is.
That is servanthood.
So he did it willingly.
He did it willingly. So he let go of his position. He let go of the glamour or the splendor or the glory, I should say, of being Jesus, the Son of God, and he came down here and he got in human form and he wallowed in the dirt with us and he slept on, you know, hay and different things they slept on in that day. He humbled himself and he served people, and that is what he's saying, that this is the position of those who are greatest in my kingdom.
That is the position. I believe what you were talking about is in Philippians, if I'm not mistaken. Philippians chapter 2. But I think that's a great example. Everything that he was, to kind of put it in a way, he kind of shed that.
Yeah.
For the purpose of becoming like us. Yeah. So that we could see him. We could see everything that I'm telling, let me say it the right way. Everything that the Father is saying you can do it.
Right.
Just look at me. Watch me do it.
Mm-hmm.
If I do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and this is part of him serving, was putting his life out there.
And this is the character he wants us to take on.
Is that absolutely the character? Now, I do have some characteristics of servanthood. We'll get into that in a little bit, because I think the characteristics, being able to see if these characteristics exist in you as a servant, and if they don't, then you know these are some things that we probably can work on in our own personal lives, but we can get to that in a little bit. What else you got?
Well, I wanted to go ahead and read Philippians 2:6 because I butchered it so bad, so that people can have the scripture. It's Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, though thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So you see how the Holy Spirit worked? I couldn't even get the scripture together, and this word servant was in there. Took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he took a likeness of servanthood. His big thing, made himself of no reputation and took himself the form of a servant. That's powerful
and of itself. It is crazy, because you're talking about the Creator, right? I know people have an issue of God the Father is the Creator. Cool. I hear what you're saying, right?
Right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says all things were made by him, which was the Word. And mm-hmm. without him, there was nothing made that was made. So we know Jesus was there in the creation process. There was work for him to do in the creation process. So we're talking about the Creator,
right?
Who actually yields himself to the created.
Mm.
The created can never be greater than the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Creator allows himself to be lower than the created.
Mm.
And so he allowed himself to be lower than the created so that the created could be greater than him.
Wow.
But in the process, he became greater than the created. You see what I mean? Because he lowered himself.
Right.
You understand what I mean?
It's such a beautiful mystery.
It is.
It's such a beautiful mystery.
I love it.
But I'm stuck here, y'all. Help me. Took on him the form of a servant. What is a form of a servant? He came and made himself of no reputation, and he was the form of God. This is what it says, who being in the form of God, thought himself not to be robbery or equal with God. Instead of being the form of God, he became the form. And that word form there is morph. He became the form of a servant. He took on the attributes of servanthood and made the likeness of men. And it says, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. So him taking on that form and coming low and coming out of that God form and coming into the form of human, mm-hmm. and being that servant and coming low caused him to be exalted to the highest place.
Yep.
Whose name there is no other name. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. So when we're talking about servanthood, we have to understand that when we serve one another, it enables you to reach places, high places, through and by Christ Jesus, that, and he is our prize. So that sure. should be what we are attaining to.
Well, our good friend Bruce, he says it all the time, is God's economy.
Yeah.
His economy doesn't work like our economy. So in this case, if you want to be exalted, you have to go low first.
Yes.
This is how God's economy works. Don't ask me why it works that way. I just know it does.
Mm.
By lowering yourself, that's how you become exalted. Now, when you lower yourself, because I don't want people doing this, because don't take on the form of lowering yourself just so you can be exalted,
because
right. it won't work for you that way.
Yeah.
It's a heart posture.
Yeah.
I'm here, whatever you need. However I can help you, whatever I can do to benefit what you're doing here in the earth or benefit you personally, even if it doesn't have to do anything with your ministry, how can I help? How can I serve? That's the heart attitude that you have to have. I get this a lot of times when we're serving in different ministries. That's you can't take serving in a ministry lightly.
Right.
Okay, and I'm not trying to be real churchy or anything like that. What I'm saying is, if you're going to serve in a ministry, and especially if you're going to serve leaders in a ministry, right, you have to do that from a position of the heart.
Right.
Far too much we just do and do and do and do, but we do it because I know I'm supposed to do things like this, but it doesn't come from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to serve, and whether you're serving that pastor or whether you're serving somebody in the fivefold ministry or even if it's a leader of the team that you're serving on, you're going to serve with your heart.
Yeah.
You know, don't come in with your own agenda and figure out how you're going to get exalted and all this kind. No, how can I help you?
Yeah.
How can I help you get to where you're going? What is your vision? How can I help you get to the end of this vision? How can we help make it come to fruition? What's my part to play? And whatever part they give you to play, play that part.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to give, before you get into some attributes, I want to go to Luke 4 real quick.
Yeah.
Luke 4, verse 6 through 8. This is when Jesus was tempted. And he said, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you in their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
Yeah.
And so as I read that, I thought that was powerful, because the statement came to me, what you serve, you worship.
Oh, that's good stuff.
What you serve, you worship. So we have to realize that we are in a world system, mm-hmm. that we're worshiping something and we're serving something.
Yep.
And what is service? That's giving your attention to, giving your, that's tending to, that's prepping, that's providing for.
Can I say one other word? You're pursuing.
You're pursuing. It's yeah. And so when you're giving your attention to something, you are serving it. Or it can be serving you. If you are a person that has a lot of wealth, you can have a system in place where that thing is serving you and you become that idol. Yeah. So it's very careful. You have to be very careful of where you're placing your servitude, what form you've taken on, a form of a servant, but what are you giving it to? If you're not giving it to the things and the word of God, you're going to find yourself in an idolatry relationship, a relationship of idolatry.
And look, let me ask you this. And you, I'm sure you have an answer for it, but
I hope.
How easy is that to find yourself in that position?
I mean, it's everyday stuff. Yeah. To me, it's one of the most easy things to do, because Jesus came and he took on our form, which means we are created. We have a certain bend towards serving.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's why he came here and to show us how to do it right.
Yeah.
And so you saw all in the Old Testament that the Israelites would constantly serve idols or worship idols. There's a dictate that is coming from an idol, and in order for that dictate to be accomplished, we have to serve it. So there's a language, there's a speaking, there's a duty, there's an act that an idol or a god is calling for, and you're doing that. And that goes to pornography. You know, the act is watching it. Or participating in it.
Yeah.
That, you know, that goes to, you know, different things. There's an act or response that you're giving, and you begin to serve that thing. And so you have to be careful that what you're serving is for God and God alone. And if you find yourself serving and doing things that, you know, that don't glorify God, you're serving that thing. That thing has become your master. Over time, it will master you. And it will beckon you, and all you do is run to it. So it's, you really have to watch what you're giving your attention and your time to on a consistent basis.
I've said this before, and it usually goes over like a lead balloon. But it's hard to serve God and Louis Vuitton at the same time.
Wow.
You know, this is why I throw that word pursue in there. There's certain things that people pursue. You know, and that's, of course, that is giving your attention to it, because you can't pursue it unless you're giving your attention to it. But it's hard to serve God and Mercedes at the same time.
Yeah.
It's these things that we get caught on that we tend to allow to be our identity. If I have this kind of name brand, or if I have this type of car, then I'm validated somehow. Right. And not understanding that your validation will never come from those things.
Right.
Unless you allow it. But that means that if you're validated by those things, when those things go away, you're no longer validated.
Let me give you scripture for that.
Let's go.
Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which was your example.
Yes. Go back to that, because I'm going to do this for my brother Bruce. And I hope Bruce is listening. I'm going to do this for my brother Bruce. Learn this from him. Read that again.
No servant can serve two masters.
So you cannot serve two masters. And he's going to give you the two here in just a second. Go ahead.
For either he will hate the one and love the other.
This is Jesus speaking, right?
Yes. Or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other.
So he will either hate the one and love the other, or
he will be loyal to the one and despise the other.
And then he says you can't serve
God and mammon.
Okay. So the riches, and it's not just money. It's the riches, the things that come along with that too. So he'll say, I'll either hate one or despise the other, right?
Right.
So if I hate money, right, I'll love God.
Right.
But if I love money, I'll hate God.
Right.
Look what the text is saying, right? Uh-huh. What's the other part to that?
You'll be loyal to one and despise the other.
So if I'm loyal to the riches, I'm going to despise God.
Wow.
But if I despise the riches, it helps me to be loyal to God.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And that's a picture of the servanthood, right?
Okay.
So I'm glad, Bruce, we talked about this and he brought that up, and I thought it was just such a great point, because it's not something we're coming up with. It's literally what he said.
Right.
You'll love one and despise the other. So if I love money, I'll despise God. It's what Jesus is saying, right?
Right, yeah.
And the same thing, you'll cling to one and basically reject the other. This is just how this works. What keeps us from that is recognizing who you're supposed to serve.
Amen.
And staying loyal to the one that you're supposed to serve. So it's beneficial so that you can stay loyal to one. Recognizing who you're supposed to be loyal to.
Right.
Sticking with that. That's the entity, whether it be God or whether it be something else, which is going to impose the identity to you or on you. I shouldn't say impose. It's going to influence your identity. It's probably the better way to say it. So where do I get my identity from? Right? Mm-hmm. Who am I serving?
That's good.
Make sense?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to get my identity from. Who am I serving?
That's so good.
So if I'm serving all these riches and stuff like that, that's where I'm going to get my identity from. And the problem with that is I'll never be good enough.
Never. And I see that. You know where I see that a lot, Troy? I see that a lot on the job.
Oh, yeah.
When people don't have Christ, they serve that job. And when something happens, they are tore out the frame. And it's because every accolade that the boss gives, they're drawing identity. Every project they turn in, they're drawing identity. Every meeting they do, they're drawing identity. And that's not where God has created you to draw your identity.
No. You ever work with those people who have no family?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they expect you to work like you have no family.
Exactly.
You know? They're all in, and I'm not saying you shouldn't work your hardest at your job. That's not what I'm saying at all. You do, even on your job, you do it as unto the Lord, right? Yeah. But what I'm saying is when it gets out of balance,
they have no spouse,
they have no children, and they expect you to work like you have no spouse and have no children.
Yeah.
Because they're tied up into that. Mm-hmm. This is where they are, and they've allowed the job to dictate who they are.
Right.
And if I don't have this and I don't have this position, then I'm somehow not validated.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you're serving that, you'll never be enough. You'll never find peace because there's no peace in that.
Yeah. So all in all, that Luke 16:13 is saying you can't be double minded in serving. There's no way you can have two minds when you're serving.
No.
You have to be singly focused when you're serving, and whether you want to or not, whether you realize it or not, you are singly focused because you're leaning to one side.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, man. Cause I hear people, okay, if I'm always serving God, then how do I do my job? Well, that's how you do your job.
Right.
You see, because I'm serving God, I'm going to be good at my job.
Yep.
Because I'm serving God, I'm going to be a good husband. Because I'm serving God, I'm going to be a good father. Because I'm serving God. All this stuff comes out of that. We talked about that in sonship before, you know?
Yes.
But because I'm doing this as unto the Lord, not unto whatever my job is, whatever my company is, I'm serving, or I'm working for this company as I'm serving God.
Correct.
They get the benefit, right?
Yeah.
Your job should get the benefit of the relationship you have with God.
Yeah.
That's how it should go.
And that, you know who gives a good example of that? Daniel.
Oh,
Daniel was a prime example of that.
Joseph, too.
I mean, they, both of them, Daniel, they said Daniel had 10 times the wisdom of anyone else. Yeah. And, you know, the spirit of excellence was upon him. But it was all because he had a spirit that loved God. He was focused on his Lord, so much so that it caused him persecution.
Yes.
But every king that Daniel served saw excellence in him, and the kingdom prospered because Daniel was there. And so that is how you take your servitude into the marketplace, into different areas of your life. It will manifest. Don't be double-minded. Let go of the riches. Let go of titles.
Let go
of position. Let go of status. Let go of what others think of you. Do you know you can serve what other people think of you?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because you're trying to pursue that thing.
Yeah.
You're trying to pursue the accolade, the acceptance, the whatever it is that you feel like you're lacking. And so don't pursue that. Pursue what God says about you. And then he said, I will make your name great.
That's right. I like that. You can, I think what you said there, you can actually pursue the thing that people are calling you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I've seen that. And here's something. In the marketplace is one thing, but also in the kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Okay. The same thing applies, what she just said. Let go of all that other stuff. You know, let go of these positions. Let go of your titles. Let go of all that other stuff. In the kingdom, there's neither male nor female.
Greek nor Jew.
Yeah. So you have all this stuff. We're all one.
Yeah.
And we all serve.
Yep.
Because we're all one. We all have the same mind. We should have the same mind. We all have the same focus. We should have the same focus. And because of that, we should not be double-minded. We should be singular in heart, singular in focus, singular in thought. And I know that sounds crazy, but we should be.
We should be.
And so I think even inside the kingdom, some of your ambition you have to let go of. Because you can serve your ambition.
Yeah.
A lot of these things, I mean, when you say serve, a lot of these things do become idols. There's so many things.
In this conversation, I didn't think it would lead to idolatry. It didn't come to my mind. But as we're talking, more and more we're seeing that.
Yeah. I mean.
It is what it is. It turns into, after a period of time, idolatry.
Well, I tell people, I do get the privilege of serving you as a husband,
mm-hmm.
right? I get to serve as your husband. However, that should also be the benefit of the relationship I have with God.
Yeah.
I serve you to the capacity that I serve God.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a residual effect is what the love I have for you. You should be able to see at least an image, a glimpse. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Of what the Father has for you.
Yeah.
At least a glimpse of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a balance there, because I can serve you without you becoming an idol, because I recognize that even serving you in the capacity and the way that I serve you is really serving God.
Yeah. It's where your heart is situated.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's a beautiful picture.
And I think it's the position of the heart has to be greatly, considered when you're doing this, and it has to be greatly guarded. Above all things, the heart is deceitful. Mm. What the Bible tells us, right?
Wow.
And you can fool yourself in that soulish realm. You can trick yourself. And this is one of those things you just got to constantly go back to the Father and say, hey, look, if my heart's not clean, create in me a clean heart.
Yeah, Renew the right spirit.
Yeah. So, and there we go, right?
Yeah.
So there's certain, you know, several different images we see. I love the relationship between Moses and Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the relationship between Elijah and Elisha,
mm-hmm.
because you see a servant being brought along by the one he's serving.
Yeah.
And in those cases, you see them. You're not, I understand you're serving me, but at the same time, I'm grooming you.
If you look at the true level, if someone is, if you're being mentored by someone, mm-hmm. there should be a level of service that they're giving you.
Sure.
It shouldn't be all give, 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 and nothing. And I've seen that sometimes in yep. church circles where it's like, carry my bag, do this thing, write this email, do this. And the only time you talk to me is when you need something.
Yeah.
That should not be the case. There should be some type of relationship, because if you think about it, Jesus was servant of all, and there was relationship. He was teaching. He was imparting. He was training. He was discipling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he sent them to go do what he had started. I want you to go continue the work that I started. So what you see with Joshua and Moses, and what you see with Elijah and Elisha, you also see with Jesus and his disciples.
Absolutely.
You just pick up where I left off.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
What else you got?
That was it. Do you want to get to those attributes?
Do I want to get to the attributes? How much time do we have? let me see. So let's see. Some qualities, I would say. Maybe some attributes. Of a good servant. This one we've already hit a few times during this conversation, but characteristic or quality number one, humility. Mm. Humility is required in the kingdom anyway.
Yes.
Right. What I like to say is, if you're going to be a child of God and you call yourself one of his, humility is required.
Amen.
Now, that can happen one of two ways. Either you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, or he has this funny way of doing it for you.
Yeah.
Right?
The journey's up to you.
The journey is completely up to you. You can stay your heart pure. You can keep your heart clean before God and constantly revisit him and have him point things out to you. And you can work on that stuff just so you stay low. Right?
Right.
Or you can go at it on your own, and eventually you'll run into something that you're not going to be able to handle, or something that starts to master you. And when that happens, then when it finally does get exposed, there is humility. Right. Because absolutely. Humility is required.
Yeah.
We've seen that several times with lots of different ministries, leaders of these ministries. And you got to understand something. I need everybody to understand this. They're still our brothers.
Yeah.
They're still our sisters.
Yeah.
And they might have done some things that were unsavory. They might have done some things that were ungodly, but they're still our brothers and they're still our sisters. And mm-hmm. we pray for them. Yes. We don't excuse what they've done. We don't say it's okay, but we pray for them. This is something you also have to remember. By the time you get exposed, that is God's last ditch effort to get you mm-hmm. to repent. When by the time that cover comes off of you, it's because he's told you several times,
yeah.
several times, perhaps even sent some people to you to tell you right. several times. And each time you've said, yeah, whatever, I'll fix that later. And then eventually he's like, all right, before you go too far,
mm-hmm.
let me pull this cover off. And that's where the exposure comes from. And I know a lot of times we look at the exposure and we're like, oh, I can't believe that. They're terrible. No. Don't look at it that way. Pray for them, because that could very easily be one of us.
Amen.
Pray for them. But that exposure usually is a result of that individual or group of individuals disregarding the warnings.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Stay humble.
Amen.
That's one of the characteristics.
What else you got?
Next thing I have... servants should be compassionate.
Amen.
we saw this with Jesus. Jesus was moved with compassion many times, even to the point where he was dog tired.
Yeah. Exhausted.
Exhausted. And he saw the people and he was moved with compassion. So he continued to minister to the people.
Yeah.
This is you going beyond yourself.
Yeah.
I could very easily go lay down and sleep for 9 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Could very easily do that, but the people still need more.
Yeah.
And so now you get yourself out of the way because I'm here for them anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Love God, love people. If we ever get that down, a lot of this stuff gets a lot easier. What mm-hmm. You do for God, but at the same time, you're doing it for the people.
Amen.
Does it make sense?
Yep.
Cool. Compassion. Next thing, empathy.
Mm.
Being empathetic. I think servants should be empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Empathetic towards one another and also empathetic towards the ones that you're serving.
You know, if you're truly in a servant relationship, you might see some secrets.
Sure.
And when you said that, you know, it can be easy to see the flaws of the one or the thing you're serving, even in churches, and become haughty mm-hmm. and prideful. It goes back to humility. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Empathetic and being empathetic is really a good key to servanthood.
It is. And I think empathy should be a part of it. It's not necessary. I can't always put myself in the place to feel what you feel.
Right.
You know, because I don't have that experience. That doesn't mean I can't be empathetic towards what you're going through.
Right.
So anything, you got anything else for empathy?
No.
Okay. Let me see what's next. Servants should be good stewards.
Amen.
They should be good stewards of anything that they have been given. A lot of times we talk stewardship. We usually in church circles are talking about money. Stewardship is definitely not just money. In fact, money is probably a very small part of stewardship.
There's right.
other things that you should be able to steward outside of just money. But whatever is given to you, what was the parable where the master gave the talents?
Uh-huh, 10 talents.
Yeah, so that was really about stewardship.
Yeah.
What did you do with what I gave you?
That's a good servant. That's We hadn't hit that topic you know, about stewarding. And I think that's a very good point because God is looking at how you serve, and that's how you serve in the spirit. What has God given me and how have I used it?
Yes.
And if I haven't used it, all I would say to you today is begin to use it. Begin to invest in what God has given you. If he's given you a gift or he's given you, you know, a talent, you know, read the word about it, invest in it. You see what you can do to develop it and then use it for his glory.
Yeah. That talent or that gift or whatever God's giving you should not be the same when he comes back to see it.
Mm.
What have you done with it? You know,
that's so good.
It shouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
You have to grow in your gift. You have to grow in your talents. You have to mature those things. And so when God comes back to inspect, that gift and talent should not be the same as the day he gave it to you. You should exactly. grow into that. So if anybody that's in ministry and what we call ministry, if you're still ministering 5 years from now on the same level, and I'm not talking about people wise and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about with the level of revelation 5 years from now that you had 5 years ago, you haven't grown. And you have to grow. Have you ever heard these sermons from like years ago
mm-hmm.
and you're like, man, that was fire. Yeah. And then you listen to that sermon 10 years from then and you're like, okay, which one of us changed?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, this thing was so, it was crazy to me when I was, you know, younger, but then now I hear it now and I'm like, no, something's different.
Yeah.
You know, but that recording stays the same, but you didn't.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. You should be growing. You should be constantly growing, constantly growing. Is that cool?
Yes.
What else we got? Let's see. Servants should be committed.
Absolutely.
That goes back to what you were saying earlier about the loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not just being loyal, but this is what my master has given me, and by God, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to lose focus. I'm not going to be distracted by all this other stuff around me. This is what he gave me to do. This is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I'm completely committed to what my master has given me.
Okay.
I think this is just a little bit redundant.
Okay.
But servants should be devoted and helpful.
Okay.
Okay. Committed to the task, but I'm devoted to my master.
Okay. Gotcha.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
And helpful. I didn't even think about this. Was that in Philemon? When we talked about Onesimus.
Mm-hmm.
And his name means useful. And Paul cleverly writes it that way. Yeah, he said to Philemon, he was not of use to you, but he's useful to me.
Mm.
His name is Onesimus. It means useful. He's useful to me, right? He's helpful to me, right? And I need you to forgive him, bring him in as a brother on my account.
Yeah.
And if he owes you anything, put it on me.
Yeah.
This is Paul's servant Onesimus. Why? Because Onesimus was serving Paul too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sense?
And that's what true servanthood looks like.
Absolutely.
In the body of Christ.
Listen, folks, if you're listening here, accountability goes both ways.
Correct.
If sometimes people say, well, these folks, they don't have any accountability. There's nobody over them. There's no, listen, I don't get into all that. But here's the way accountability works. Paul was just as accountable to Timothy as Timothy was to Paul.
Amen.
Paul had a way that he had to conduct himself as Timothy's spiritual father, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Timothy had a right to hold Paul to that.
Yes.
Paul also had a right to hold Timothy to being his son, right? And this is the place that a son would have.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes both ways. And
it
sometimes
does.
We don't look at that as far as that accountability. Well, I'm accountable to my pastor. Well, your pastor's accountable to you, too.
Yeah.
He can't just live any kind of way he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
He's accountable to you, too.
Yeah, that's true. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in this hierarchy type theology to where he's over me. I can't da-da-da-da. And, you know, I don't know as much as him. No, you know sin.
That's
you
right.
You know right from wrong.
That's right.
And you may not be able to articulate the text like the next guy the way you think you should, but you know what's right and wrong.
That's right.
So you can, there is accountability that goes both ways. There's a standard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Last thing here, and it's so funny because I had these down before we even started talking about this, and we spent a little bit of time, significant amount of time on this podcast just discussing that. But servants know it's not about the money. That's not why they do it.
Amen.
It's not about the rewards. It's not about the glory. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not about the accolades. It's not about any of that. You serve because you were created to serve.
Amen.
That's what I would like to leave with everyone. You serve because you were created to serve. If you don't get anything else out of this podcast, please get that. And then go out and do what you were created to do. Serve one another in love. Just as you were serving God. And I think that's how the kingdom is supposed to work.
Let this mind be in you. That's the form.
That's it.
That's the form.
Love it. Love it. So I'm Troy.
I'm Tisha.
And we thank you so much for spending your time with us here.
Under the Fig Tree. Bye.